Okay, the weekly shiur in Maseches Moed Katan is dedicated by David and Paula Baumzer and OMO Construction. Normally, the weekly breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch, Lili Neshmas Shimon Ben Zev and Fega Bas Chaim, but there's no...
He stiffed us today.
No bagels today. Today is Tisha B'Av. And interestingly, the halacha on Tisha B'Av is that you don't learn Torah, because Torah is Mesam Chilev. It makes us happy. But there are a few topics that you're allowed to learn. One of them is Hilchas Aveilus, although even when it comes to Hilchas Aveilus, the halacha is that you can't learn Be'iyun. You can't learn, you know, all sorts of exciting sugyas and go into detail that in a way that might you know, get you excited. So it happens to be this daf in Moed Katan talks about Hilchas Aveilus, but not only Hilchas Aveilus, it's kind of a lightning round, just... you know, staccato shootout of halachos and Hilchos Aveilus. So it's not too exciting in the sense that it's the kind of learning that even in Hilchos Aveilus you might not have learned on Tisha B'Av. It's really bare bones, and so it's perfectly in fitting with the theme of the day. Okay, we'll start on the bottom of Yud Dalet Amud Beis, where it says, Avel Aser B'Tisporis. One of the things that an Avel, someone who's certainly sitting Shiva, but for some amount of time after that also, is prohibited in Tisporis, in cutting their hair. How do we know that? Midik Amru Rachmanu of Nei Aaron, because when the sons of Aaron were in mourning, were Avelim, the Torah says, Roshechem Al Tifra'u, that you shouldn't... that you shouldn't grow your hair long. Right? So Michal Dukoy Alma Aser, that shows that everyone else should grow their hair long, right? The fact that the Torah had to go out of its way and tell the Bnei Aaron to not grow your hair long indicates that for a regular Avel, growing your hair long is part of the Halachos Avelos. That style of limud, meaning the idea that the Pasuk says, do this as a manifestation of Hilchos, or do this notwithstanding the fact that you're an Avel, and us learning from that what an Avel should not do, meaning the inverse of what that Pasuk is saying, is going to come up a few times on Daf Tesvav as well, when it comes to Yechezkel. We'll see that in a moment. Okay, so that's how we learn that an Avel is Aser B'Tisporis, an Avel can't get a haircut. The Gemara continues and says, Menudin u'mitzorayin ma'hein b'tisporis. What's the halacha? What's the status of a menuda or a mitzora? A mitzora is someone who is saras and is subject to certain restrictions. A menuda is someone who is in nidoy, which is a halachic category that Chazal, or that a Bezdin, could put someone in as a punishment for being over various serious averos. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, it was 24 things that a person can do in order to be subject to nidui, including to be mevaza talmid chacham, or to not listen to a bezdin that's inviting him to come to bezdin. There are all sorts of things that that you could be put in nidui for. Nowadays, it's not something that we really do, because as we'll see, these restrictions on a menuda are pretty chamor, are pretty strict. Nowadays, a bezdin might issue a seiruv against someone who fails to come to bezdin, but that doesn't rise to the level of a halachic menuda in the context of this stuff. But be it as it may, the Gemara now asks, what about a menuda and what about a mitzora? Are they also prohibited from cutting their hair? Mahin b'tisporis. And the Gemara seeks to answer it by quoting a braisa, tashma menudin u'mitzorain asirin l'saper u'l'chabes, that a menuda and a mitzora are both asir to cut their hair or to launder their clothing. And then the Gemara says, once we're on the topic of a menuda, the Gemara says, a menuda shemes bezdin soklin asarono. If a menuda, someone who's in nidoy, dies in the span, within the span of his nidoy, and now they go to bury him, he's in an aron, he's in a coffin, so bezdin soklin asarono, bezdin will throw stones at his aron. Rabbi Yehuda omer lo sheyamdu alav gala vanim kegala shalachan. Not that they actually, says Rabbi Yehuda, not that they actually put a big mound of rocks like they did on Achan. Achan was the person who was in the time of Yehoshua. He was Moel Beviza, right? He was the one who, even though Hashem had commanded the Jewish people not to take the booty from the battle of Yericho, was it? I think it was Yericho. Achan violated that, and he took from the booty, and he was punished. He's not a good character in Tanakh, and so when he died, apparently they put a mound of stones on him. So Rabbi Yehuda is clarifying and says that we don't put a big mound of stones on the Menuda's coffin. Ela Bezdin Sholchen Umanichen Evin Gedola Arono. Rather, Bezdin will send and just place one stone on his Aron as a symbolic act. Lamedcha Shekol Hamisnade Umeis Beniduyo Bezdin Sokun as Arono. This teaches us this general theme that you're Sokol as Arono by placing the stone on his Aron. Fine. Avel chay. Now, next topic. Avel chayev ba'atifas harosh. So, an avel is commanded; he's obligated to do atifas harosh, similar to the way we would do with a talis, to wrap our head with a talis, or like you might think with a turban, or something like that. So, one of the halachos of avelos that used to be knowing that we don't do this anymore is that he would wrap his head. How do we know this? Midikamer le'rachmano Yechezkel, from the fact that Hashem told Yechezkel. When he was being noeg avelus, velo se'ate al safam, that you should not wrap it around your mouth, mechal dekui alma mechayve, from the fact that Hashem had to tell Yechezkel in the context of his avelus, don't wrap it around your mouth, that implies that a regular avel does wrap it around his mouth, does do atifa. The specific context in which avelus arises in Yechezkel is this actually... It has to do with events of today or events leading up to today. On Asara B'Teves, this happened. So Yechezkel was around the time that Bavel laid siege on Yerushalayim on Asara B'Teves. And Hashem told Yechezkel that all these bad things are going to happen. He gave him Nevuah, and he told him that people within his own family will die. And he tells him how to mourn. So he tells him specifically, V'lo Satel Safam, you should not do this. Again, implying our halacha. And then the next day, I think it's Yechezkel's wife dies, and he has to mourn the death of his wife. So that's the context in which this arises. Then the Gemara says, Menuda ma'u ba'atifas harosh. So we now know an avel does atifas harosh, an avel wraps himself in a turban. What about a menuda? Rav Yosef, tashma, let's learn from the following. Behin mis'atvin v'yoshvin k'menudun u'ke'avelim achirachim wa'aleyam min ha'shamayim. He's quoting from a brisa from a Gemara that appears in Maseches Tanis. If you remember when we learned Tanis, there are all sorts of practices that Bnei Yisrael does, that the Jewish people do when they are in Eis Tzara. Let's say they need rain or they have some other pressing need. So here it says that what should they do there? That they wrap themselves in cloth, in sackcloth. Just like menudim and aveilim, ad shirachem aleihem min hashamayim, until Hashem listens to their tefillos. So that seems to be a proof that a menuda also, not just an avel, but a menuda also wraps himself in cloth. Amar le Abaye, dilma menuda l'shamayim shayni dechamir. So Abaye says, well, that doesn't necessarily mean that every case of menuda that's true, because the brisa that we just quoted from Maseches Tanis is talking about Menuda L'Shamayim, where all of the Tzibur considers themselves Menuda because almost as like a direct reaction to a imposition that Hashem is placing on them. They're Menuda L'Shamayim. That's not necessarily the same category as a regular Menuda who's just an individual Menuda. And so maybe he is less Chamor, and therefore maybe a Menuda doesn't wrap himself. So we are left without a proof on that. The Gemara says, Mitzora ma'u ba'atifas harosh. Does a Mitzora wrap himself in cloth? So Tashma, we learn from a brisa, V'al safam ya'ateh. V'al safam ya'ateh. This is a pasuk in... Where is this? Oh, this is the pasuk in the Torah, which talks about what the practices are, what the practices are of Mitzora. And it says, V'al safam ya'ateh, that she should wrap himself. So we see from there that a mitzora, clearly from the pasuk in the Torah, teaches us that he does wrap himself in cloth. Next, avel aser laniach tefillin. So an avel is not supposed to do tefillin. Now our minhagim nowadays have shifted, and the Rishonim talk about this. Of avel does put on tefillin. I think the way we interpret this halacha is to mean prior to the kvura, the avel, the onain, doesn't put on tefillin. But once that kvura takes place and now he's sitting shiva, he does put on tefillin that afternoon. But at least the Gemara is saying here, avel aser aneich tefillin. How do we know this? Miktikamro le rachmano yechezkel percha chavush alecha mechad dekoy alma aser. So again here, the Torah or Hashem is instructing Yechezkel as a manifestation of his avelus, percha chavush alecha, that you should wear your pe'er. Pe'er means your adornment. You should wear your adornment, and that's referring to tefillin. And so the fact that Yechezkel is instructed specifically to wear tefillin in the context of his avelus, that implies that everyone else shouldn't wear tefillin when they're avelim. Now the Gemara says, menuda ma'u betefillin. What about a menuda? Teku, the Gemara leaves that without an answer. It's not sure. Mitzora ma'u betefillin. What's the status of a mitzora? Does a mitzora wear tefillin? So the Gemara says, tashma. We learn that from a price of atzarua. L'rabos kohen gadol. So the pasuk says atzarua, as we learned on the previous Amud, that comes to learn that even the kohen gadol has to follow the laws of tzaras. And then it goes on to say, begadav yufrumim sheyehu mikuraim, that his garments should be torn, that they should be torn. V'rosho yeh parua, and his head should be uncovered, right? Bare. Ein priya el gidol se'ar divrei Rav Elazar. So Rav Elazar says that means that he should grow his hair long. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, no, that's not what Rosho Yuapurua means. He says, Nemra Havaya Barosh, Venemra Havaya Bebeged. The word Yiyu appears in the context of this Rosh, right? Rosho Yiyaparua. And also by Beged, it's Begadov Yiyu Frumim. So the fact that that commonality of the word Yiyya or Yiyu suggests that Mahavaya Hamura Bebeged Davar Shechutz Migufo. Just like when it's referring to beged, it's referring to something that's outside his actual body, not something like hair that grows from his body, but something external to his body. So af havaya barosh, so therefore havaya barosh, when it says yiya farua, doesn't mean his hair, but rather davar shechutz migufo, it's something external to his body. Ma'ilava tefillin, that must be referring to tefillin, that's the thing that's external to your body that you put on your head, to teach you that that a tsarua is aser b'tefillin. He shouldn't wear tefillin. That's how they're going to learn it from that Rabbi Akiva. So Amar Rav Papa says, no. Just because the pasuk says for some that you should not put on your head something to adorn it, that's not to say that you shouldn't put tefillin on your head, but that the tsarua shouldn't put tefillin on his head. But rather, lo akumsa v'sudra. It's referring to some sort of veil or hat. Or a specific garment, but it's not to say that the tsarua is aser b'tefillin. Fine. So the Gemara continues. Avel aser b'sheilas shalom. And avel is prohibited from saying hello to people, and people should not say hello to the avel. How do we know that? D'karmoy rachmano yechezkel hanek dom. From the fact that Hashem told Yechezkel in the context, again, of his sitting shiva, of his avelus, Hanek Dom. Now, the simplest understanding of this is Hanek Dom, that he should be quiet. So this is kind of an exception to the pattern. Until now, every time Yechezkel was instructed in a certain Nigug, we've already learned from there that you should do the opposite, that a regular Avel other than Yechezkel doesn't do that. So the way Rashi learns this is a situation where we actually follow what Yechezkel was instructed to do. And Tosfos points out that some of the Nihugim, we follow what he was instructed to do, and some of the Nihugim, we are instructed not to follow what he was doing. And Tosfos says specifically that's because his Avelus was a symbolic Avelus. I said before that it was when his wife died, but I think the context of these Psukim arises not just upon the death of his wife, but also just generally about symbolically sitting Shiva, symbolically following the halachas of Avelos because of the siege on Yerushalayim. And so Tosfos says that some of the things are there to, that in some respects that symbolic Avelos followed what the halachas of how we follow Avelos, and in some respects his symbolic Avelos departed from the halachas. How you decide and how we know which of the instructions to Yechezkel we emulate in Hilchos Aveiros and which we don't, I'm not sure. But that's at least the way Tosfos is learning it. If you look at the Rabbeinu Chananel on the bottom, he does this a little differently, and he says, Hanekdom implies that you should just not sigh. Right? Hanek means literally to sigh. So be quiet. Dom means quiet. So be quiet from sighing, but ela daber, but that you should speak, as if to say that Hashem is instructing Yechezkel that in the context of your symbolic avelus, you should speak. You should address people. You should say shalom shalom, from which then we can learn that for a regular avel, you do just the opposite, in which case you don't speak, you don't open with shalom shalom, you don't say hello to people, and people shouldn't say hello to him. So it's machokas rishonim between Rashi and Tosfos on the one hand, and Rabbeinu Chananel as to how you learn this Gemara. Okay, then the Gemara continues and says, Menuda mahu b'sheol shalom. What's the status of a menuda? Can a menuda say hello to people? Amar Rav Yosef, Tashma, u'v'sheol shalom shmen adam l'chaveru k'mnei adam hanizofin l'makom. So he says, and again, this is picking up from that Gemara in Tanis, where it's talking about menudim l'makom, right? People who are, when Klal Yisrael feels that Hashem has turned their back on them, and they are taking on certain Yehugim in order to kind of plead to Hashem to change course. So it says here that they should also not talk to one another. So Amrulay Abaye, Dilma Menuda Lashemayim Shani Dechamir. So Abaye says, similar to what he said above, now maybe it's different when it comes to a Menuda Lashemayim, where it's a Tzibur, all feeling as if they're a Menuda Lashemayim, that Hashem is turning his back on them. Maybe that's different than the status of a regular Menuda, in which case a regular Menuda perhaps can be engaged in Sheol Shalom with his friend. So the Gemara leaves that unanswered. Mitzora ma'u b'sheol shalom. What about a Mitzora? Can a Mitzora say hello to his friend? Tashma ve'al safam ya'ateh. The Pasuk says that he should have a wrapped around his mouth. Sheyehu sifso sav meduvako zubazu. Sheyeh kemenuda uka'avel. This is again the Bryce is speaking. From the fact that it says that he should have his mouth covered, that implies that tells us that he should have his mouth closed, his lips closed, and he should be like a menuda and like an avel. And that he's prohibited from speaking, saying hello to his friend. So we see from there that the menuda should not say hello. So the Gemara immediately says, "Venifsho minala menuda." I'm sorry, that was just the mitzora, right? And so the Gemara then says immediately, "Venifsho minala menuda." We just asked what the story is with a menuda. Can he do sheol shalom? We weren't sure because our proof was Abaye had upshlugged our proof. But the Gemara now says maybe we can derive from that same brisa that a menuda is also aser b'sheol shalom. It threw him into the same category. Amar Rav Acha bar Pinchas mishmei Rav Yosef mikatani she'aser. It doesn't say there that the menuda specifically is aser in sheol shalom, but rather it's sheyehe kemenuda uka'avel katani. It just says more generally that the mitzora is like a menuda and like an avel, b'migli achar naisa, with respect to other halachos, but not necessarily with respect to this halacha of sheol shalom, va'aser nami b'sheol shalom, and then but not connected to that saying. Meaning the brisa says a mitzora is like a menuda and like an avel. And then separately it's saying, V'asar nami b'sheol shalom. And separately from that, he's asar b'sheol shalom. He can't say hello to his friend. That's not necessarily to teach us that a menuda is asar b'sheol shalom, and a menuda can't talk to his friend. Okay, next. Avel asar b'divrei Torah. Avel is prohibited from learning Torah. Midik amar achman el yechez keldom. Similar to the lima we have above, that we learned sheol shalom from, the fact that Hashem told Yechezkel not to speak, to be quiet, so that implies that he should also not learn Torah. Torah implies speaking. Fine. Menuda ma'u b'divrei Torah. What about a menuda? Can a menuda learn Torah? Amar of Yosef, Tashma, we learned from this brisa. Menuda shona v'shonen lo. A menuda, you can teach him, you learn from him. There's your answer, that he can learn Torah, right? You teach him, learn from him. Nischar v'nischar lo, you can do business with him. Muhram, as opposed to a muhram, which is a different, more severe level than a menuda. So muhram lo shona v'lo shonen lo, you don't learn and you don't learn from Torah. Don't teach him, don't learn Torah from him. Lo nischar v'lo nischar lo, don't do any commerce with him. Aval shona hu atzmo, but he can learn Torah himself. Shoyafsik eslimudo, because he's got to learn. He's not going to stop his learning just because he's a muhram, just because he's a menuda, and so he can learn himself. V'osolo chanus ketana bishvil parnasaso, and he also has to survive, so he could open up a little shack, a little store to sell things in order to get parnasa. V'omer Rav, and Rav added, zvune mayo bepiksa da'aravos. So Rav said that he could sell water in the valley of Arvus, which is a place apparently where there wasn't a lot of water, and then he would have a living, he'd be able to get by. Shmamina. So we see from all this that the menuda can learn Torah. We said it specifically, shona v'shon and lo, but even a muhram, who was a step more chamor than a menuda, was allowed to learn Torah himself. So that's not a problem. Fine. Mitzora ma'u divrei Torah. What about a mitzora? Can a mitzora learn divrei Torah? Tashma. We have a braisa that says the following: V'odatem levanecha v'livnei vanecha. You should teach. There's a pasuk in the Torah. You should teach your sons and your grandsons. Yom asher amadta lefnei Hashem elokecha b'chorev, the day that you stood in front of Har Sinai and received the Torah. And the braisa says, Ma lahala, and just like over there at Har Sinai, it was be'ima u'be'yiro v'reses u'vezeya. Har Sinai was not just a normal experience, but it was a very frightening experience, and we received the Torah with heightened ema and yira and reses. We were trembling. It was very scary experience. So mikan amru, from the fact that the Torah was given in the context of trembling, that it was a scary experience, mikan amru hazavin v'amitzorain uboinidos, that people who are zavin or people who are mitzora, or bo, you need those people who have relations with Anida. Mutarim likros b'toro v'nevim uksuvim u'shanos b'mezhur shivasas v'halachos v'agos. They can learn all sorts of Torah. Because their status is kind of similar to Ema, Yira, and Reses. They kind of experience these things, and it's a very intense experience, similar to the intensity of the experience at Har Sinai. So the Medrash, the Bryce is saying that teaches you that they can learn Torah. As opposed to Bali Karian, Balkeri, Asurin. A Balkeri, Rashi explains, is different than all the other categories because he is responsible for what happened. It happened because of Kalas Rosh. It wasn't an intense experience that led to his becoming a Balkeri, of having an emission. It was because he had Kalas Rosh. He didn't take things seriously. He looked at things he shouldn't have looked at, etc. And so therefore, he, a Balkari, is Aser in Lima Torah, Shema Mina, until he goes to the mikveh. Fine. The Gemara continues, Avel Aser b'techposos, and Avel should not wash his clothes, he should not launder his clothes, t'chsiv, and here it quotes a pasuk from Shmuel Beis. Here's the background to the pasuk. The pasuk in Shmuel Beis comes in the story of Avshalom and David. Avshalom had a brother named Amnon. Amnon committed a very heinous act against his own sister Tamar, and as a result, Avshalom killed Amnon. Right? Avshalom killed Amnon. And then he realized that his father David would be very upset about the fact that he killed his brother Amnon, and so he fled. And then David was very upset at him. And then Yoav, who was David's general, right? Yoav was David's general. He was wanting to encourage David to reconcile with Avshalom. And so Yoav wanted to teach David to not be so angry at his son just because he had killed his brother, even though that seems like a good reason to be angry at
Yoav
your son.
Yoav was David's nephew also.
Yoav was David's nephew
Yoav
also?
Yoav ben Tzruya. Tzruya was David's sister.
Ah, okay, good. It's a good thing we have someone who knows a little Tanakh here. Okay, good. So, but he was also his general, right?
Of course, good.
So he was a family member also. Good. So he had a vested interest. He wanted everyone to get along. Right. So he was encouraging David to reconcile with Avshalom. So instead of just appearing in front of David and giving him mussar that you should be friendly to you should be nice to your son, you should reconcile with him, you should bring him back into the fold, he did it in a kind of derech mashal. He had a woman go to David and claim to be a widow whose son killed her other son, and that she was under a huge amount of stress because all the people in the town wanted to kill the son who had murdered the other son. And she was now appearing to David in kind of this distress, and what should I do? And what happened was, when David was presented with this story, David immediately was sympathetic with her plight and said, I'm going to issue a royal edict that they shouldn't kill your son. and that they should protect him. And then what happened was she revealed to David that she had been put up to this task by Yoav as a way of teaching David to reconcile with his son Avshalom. That's the whole story, and that's what brings about the following pasuk. That's the story here. Vayishlach Yoav Tekoa. So Yoav sent someone to Tekoa. Vayikach misham isha chachama, and he took from there a wise woman. Vayomer Elea, and he instructed her. He told her, "His abuina, you should act like a mourner. V'livshina bigdei avel, and you should put on clothing of an avel. V'altisochi shemen, and you shouldn't anoint oils." And you should act like this for a little while, misabelas almes, as if you are a mourning for a dead person. This was how Yoav set up this mashal for David to encounter. But we see from here that he specifically instructed her to wear the clothing of a mourner, livshina bigdei avel, and so we see from there that an avel is not allowed to do laundry, because presumably the bigdei avel were unlaundered clothing. Okay. So what about a menudah and mitzorah? Are they allowed to do laundry? Tashma, menudah and mitzorah, masurim wasaper, uchabish, shmamina. That's a pretty explicit proof. The Brisa says specifically that a menudah and a mitzorah are both not allowed to launder clothing. Fine. Next. Avel chayev bekriya. So an avel has to do kriya. Dekamru rachmanu v'nei aron, because the Torah says, Hashem told the b'nei aron, lo tifromu, that you should not rend your garments. From the fact that Bnei Aaron, in the context of their avelos, were instructed not to rend their garments, so that proves to us that a regular avel does rend his garments, does tear his garments. Menuda ma'o bekriya, what about a menuda? Teku, the Gemara is not sure, leaves it unanswered. Mitzora ma'o bekriya, what about a mitzora? Tashma, begadav yu frumim, we have a specific pasuk in the Torah that says that mitzora's garments should be tattered, shiyu mikura in shmamina. That teaches us that they should be torn. Next, avel chayev bikfia samita. An avel is obligated in turning over his bed. This was another form of avelos that we don't practice nowadays. If I remember correctly, I think it's because it became like a maisa, the nachrim, the non-Jews, and specifically even people involved in witchcraft and things like that would turn over their beds. And so nowadays we don't do that. I think
they would make fun of it.
They would make fun. The non-Jews would make fun of. Oh, that's what I remember. The non-Jews would make fun of the Jews for turning over their beds. Is that what? Aha, interesting. So the non-Jews would make fun of the Jews for turning over their beds.
They called it
kishuv. That's, I misremember the whole thing. Okay, fine. So that's why nowadays we don't do kfiya samita, but the din in the Gemara is that an avel does turn over his bed. How do we know that? The Tani Bar Kafra, Demus Diyukni, Nasati Bahen, Uvavanoseim Ofaha Fachtiha, Kafumitoseim Aleya. What is this talking about? Tani Bar Kafra, I'm not sure who he's quoting. It's Demus Diyukni Nosati Bohen. Rashi says it's talking about the fact that Hashem created man Betzalim Elokim in the image of God. Uvavanoseim Hofachtiha. And I think this is saying that a chote, someone who commits avonos, has his Tzelem Elokim removed or overturned. So therefore, kafu mitosei an aleha. Maybe that's a zayin of the art scroll. This nihug, this minug of kfiya samita, of turning over the bed, is kind of, I think, to counter this notion that if someone who has avonos has his likeness of Hashem kind of overturned. So we overturn the bed in symbolism of that, or something like that. Anyone want to correct me? Does that sound right? Okay, we'll go with that. Menuda umitzora, mahim bikfiya samita. What's the status of a menuda umitzora? Do they turn over their beds? Teku, the Gemara leaves that unanswered. Next, avel aser ba'asiyas malacha. An avel is not supposed to do work. He's supposed to take off from work during his avelos, at least during Shiva. Dechsiv, V'afachti chagichem wa'evel, machag osir b'moach af evel, af ovel osir b'moach. So the pasuk says that I turned their day of celebration into ovel, into evel, into mourning. And so we see here the juxtaposition of the word chagichem to avelos. And so too, just like a chag is osir b'moach, you're not allowed to do moach on a holiday, so too you can't do moach, an ovel can't do moach. Okay, next, menuda man hu ba'asiyas melacha. What about a menuda, someone who's in nidui? Amar Rav Yosef, tashma, we learn, and again, we go back to that braisa that we keep on quoting from Maseches Tanis, talking about the menuda moshamayim, right? Kisha amru asr ba'asiyas melacha, lo amru al biyom. It's talking about asiyas melacha, and it says that they were only prohibited from doing their work a day. Aval b'layla mutter, they could catch up on their work at night. That is when, again, they were all praying for rain or other calamities. V'chein atamotzei b'menuda uva'avel, and this, you find the same thing, says the Brice, you find the same thing with respect to a menuda and an avel. So, ma'ilav akuhu, so presumably, when it says v'chein atamotzei b'menuda uva'avel, that you find these same halachos with respect to a menuda and an avel, it's talking about all the halachos that we're reciting that in this context, including this idea of us of Isser Malacha, the Gemara says, no Ashar, it's talking about other halachos brought down in that context in the Gemara and Tanis, and not necessarily on the halacha of Asiyas, on the Isser Asiyas Malacha, and so we can't prove from there that a menuda is prohibited from performing work, from engaging in work. So we'll try again. Tashma, menuda shona v'shonen lo, nischar v'nischarin lo, shma mina. That's the braisa we quoted earlier, that a menuda, you can teach Torah to it, you can learn Torah from a menuda, and nischar v'nischar lo, you could do commerce with a menuda, so that teaches you, shma mina, it teaches you that a menuda can, in fact, go to work, he can engage in commerce. And then what about a mitzora? Mitzora, mahu basiyas malacha, teiku. That the Gemara leaves unresolved. It's not sure whether a mitzora can do malacha. Okay, next. Avel asur b'rechitza. An avel is not supposed to wash. How do we know this? Dechsiv y'al tasochi shemen, that you shouldn't anoint it with oils. That an avel should not anoint himself with oils. This is this was in the pasuk from Shmuel Beis, how talking about this Yoav setting up this woman to act as a mourner, and so he said one of the things you should do is don't anoint yourself with oils. And the Gemara says v'rechitza b'chal sicha, and when we're talking about anointing with oils, smearing with oils, so rechitza, washing, is part of that same category, and therefore we learn from here that an avel should not wash. Interestingly, the Tosfos on the side here, the second Tosfos down, Dimas Chola Ashara, talks about how extensive this... Actually, no, let's wait 3 lines, because I think it's picking up on 3 lines for now. We'll get back to Avel and Rechitza. First, the Gemara says, Menuda mahu b'rechitza. What about the Menuda? Can a Menuda wash? Amar Rav Yosef Tashma. And again, you quote the Gemara from Tainis, the Braisa from Tainis, which talks about the Menuda l'shamayim. Kish amru asr b'rechitza, lo amru el kol gufo. When it says that you're asr in washing, when the Menuda l'shamayim, when the Tzibur, when they were fasting, that they're prohibited in washing, well, amru el kol gufo. That means that they can't wash their entire body. You can't take a bath. You can't take a shower. Aval panav yada v'raglav. But when it comes to just washing your hands or your legs, your feet or your face, so then mutter. They can do that. V'chein atam motzei b'menuda u'ba'avel. And you find the same story, the same halacha with respect to a menuda and with respect to an avel. And the Gemara says, my lava kugu. So presumably, when we said that these halachos of a menuda l'shamayim also apply to a menuda and an avel, so it's talking about all the halachos, including the rechitza that we're talking about, and that will answer our question of whether a menuda can wash. The Gemara answer is lo ashar. It's talking about other halachos, and it's just mixing it up altogether. But you can't derive from there, from that braisa, that a menuda is permitted to wash panav yada v'raglav and usher to wash the rest of their body. We just don't know what the status is with respect to a menuda washing. And then finally, mitzora, ma'u berechitza, can a mitzora do rechitza, teku, we're not sure, the Gemara leaves that unresolved. So the next, the Tosfos, the second Tosfos from the top, the Dibur HaMasechta Lashara, talks about halacha l'maisa, to what extent an avel is barred from washing. Can an avel wash panav yadav raglav? Meaning an avel is not allowed to take a shower, but are they allowed to wash their hands and face? And the Tosfos specifically addresses this issue by contrasting an avel with the halachos of a person on Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippur. Because one of the Bali Tosfos is quoting here is asking, why should an avel be different than Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur? On Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, it's aser lirchotz afilu etzbos. You can't even wash your fingers, right? We know you can only wash up to your knuckle. We know that from today. You can't even wash your whole hand. And so why would you think that an avel could wash his panav yadav raglav? Why should he be able to wash his face and all his feet and his hands, right? That's what one of the Bali Tosfos asks. And then it quotes the Rashbam. It says, "If Hashem Rashbam, to ufiyam askan and demasik perakam and detainis to avel mutter lirchotz panav yadav raglav, that an avel is allowed to wash their face and hands bitzonein with cold water, hu adin Tisha B'Av yom kippurim. That should then mean that on Tisha B'Av yom Kippur we should be able to wash our faces with cold water at least, or in our full hands and our full feet." But the Tosfos is kind of troubled by the fact that one Gemara seems to imply one way in terms of what we can do on Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur, and this Gemara seems to imply the other way. And then finally it says, V'shem Rabbeinu Tam Shemati, Shaya Oser Lirchotz Klal B'Tisha B'Av Yom Kippurim, Chutz Miyadav Shachris. So Rabbeinu Tam concluded that actually on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av you can't wash your hands at all, you can't wash your face. The only exception is your hands in the morning, because the halacha is that even on Yom Kippur, as we know, even on Yom Kippur on Tisha B'Av, you can wash your hands if they're dirty. Wash your feet if they get dirty. And therefore, when you wake up in the morning, because the halacha is that you're not allowed to touch your eyes and your mouth once you wake up in the morning without washing your hands, so that's considered as if they're mulchachos. So it's as if your hands are actually dirty, because functionally you can't touch your eyes, and so therefore that's the heter that we have to wash our hands at least up to the knuckles on the morning of Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippur for that matter, and it comes from this Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, back into the Gemara says Mitzora, I'm sorry, Avel Aser B'nilas HaSandal. So an Avel is not allowed to wear leather shoes. Mitakamru Rachmanu Yechezkel, from the fact that Hashem, in speaking to Yechezkel and charting out his aveilos, he says, "Unalecha tasim v'raglecha." You should put on shoes. So mechal dekuy alma aser. That implies that everyone else should not wear shoes in their aveilos. Menuda ma'u b'nilas hasando. What about a menuda? Amrav Yosef tashma. He's going to prove from the following: Kishe amru aser b'nilas hasando, wa amru ela be'ir. When they said that you can't wear nilas hasando, that's only in the city. Aval b'derech mutter, but when it comes to going on a road, then you are allowed to wear shoes. How should you actually make this happen? Noel, when you go out on the road, put on your shoes. Nichnas leader, when you get into the city, then take off your shoes. And you also find these halachos with respect to a menuda and an avel. My lava kulus. The Gemara says, it seems to, if we're saying that the menuda and the avel are in the same boat, same category, that makes it sound like we've answered our question, that a menuda is aser b'nilas hasando, at least in the city. The Gemara says, Lo Ashar, it's talking about, again, all these braces are mixed up together, and so when we say that a menuda and avel have the same status, it means not necessarily with respect to nilas hasando, but maybe other halachos, and therefore there's no proof from here as to whether a menuda can wear shoes on during his nidui. Mitzora ma'u b'nilas hasando. What about a mitzora? Can a mitzora wear shoes? Teku, the Gemara leaves it unresolved. Next, avel aser b'tashmish amita. An avel is not allowed to engage in marital relations during shiva. Dechsiv, how do we know that? Because the pasuk with respect to David and Bathsheba, their child had passed away, they were sitting shiva, and then afterwards it says, vayinachem David es Bathsheba ishto, Vayovo Aleha, that David had marital relations with Bathsheba, but that's after his Shiva was over. Michal de Meikara Aser. And the fact that the Pasuk is telling us in such detail that he was with his wife after the Avelos, that implies, or that teaches us, that during the Avelos they were not allowed to be allowed together. They were not allowed to be together, and that's why it was only after the Avelos that it says Vayovo Aleha. Menuda ma'o b'tash mishmida, can someone who's in nidui engage in marital relations? Amar Rav Yosef Tashma. Rav Yosef says, we'll learn the following. Ka'osan shanim, shal Yisrael ba'midbar, menudin hayu. That the 40 years that the Bnei Yisrael were in the midbar, they were like menudin, they were like ostracized in that way. And what happened there? V'shim shumita sam. We know that they did have marital relations during that sojourn in the midbar, right? So that sounds like a proof that a menuda can have marital relations. Amrei Abaye v'duma menuda l'shamayim shiny dekayel. Abaye says, no, maybe a menuda l'shamayim is different because it's more mekel. Meaning, Abaye says, similar to the way that all the brises in the Maseches Tanis, when Bnei Yisrael were praying for rain, we call those menuda l'shamayim. So the same status seems to have applied to the Jews in the midbar. They were menudo l'shamayim. Hashem had kind of turned his back to them, kaviyachol, because he wasn't letting them enter Eretz Yisrael, right? So they were menudo l'shamayim. So Abaye says, you can't necessarily prove that just because of the fact that they were allowed to do something back then in the Midbar, they were allowed to do Tashma Shamita, that a regular menuda can also, because maybe a menudo l'shamayim is more mekel than a regular menuda. The Gemara immediately asks, Kyle, what do you mean, Kyle? Until now, every time we've tried to compare the status of a menuda to a menuda l'shamayim, we've always said, well, you can't really compare, Abaye always interjected, because a menuda l'shamayim is more machmir, more chamur. And so here he seems to be saying that you can't necessarily conclude that you could do tashma shamita, because maybe the menuda l'shamayim is more kail, is not as stringent. Right? So the Gemara says, kail v'amr is chamur. Until now you keep on saying they're more chamur. So the Gemara says, no, actually, svuke mesafkale. We're not sure whether a menuda l'shamayim is more chamur or more kail, whether it's more stringent or less stringent than a regular menuda. And so therefore, you could just never draw any inference from the halacha of a menuda l'shamayim. Zil hacha kamad chilei, zil hacha kamad chilei. No matter which way you look at it, you have to be docha the proof, because you can't prove anything from the status of a menuda l'shamayim, who may be more stringent, may be more kail, but we just can't prove it. Fine. Mitzora ma'u b'tashma shemita, can Mitzora have married relations tashma? We have a braisa d'tanya v'yashav michutz la'alo she'eke menuda uka'avel v'asar b'tashma shemita. So it seems to say that he has to sit outside his tent. Ve'ina ha'alo ela ishto. Tent usually refers to his wife. Shenemar aleichem mor alachem lahem shuvu alachem la'alechem. When Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed to tell Bnei Yisrael to go back to their wives, it says, go back to your tents, right? Tent is kind of a euphemism for going back to your wife. Shema Minah, we see from there that a Mitzora is not allowed to engage in marital relations. So Gemara says, well, once we already now say that Sheyehe Kemenuda Uka'avel, right, that the Mitzora is like a Menuda and like an Avel in this respect, so v'nifshot nami l'menuda. We were just a moment ago, we're unsure whether a menuda is allowed to have marital relations. We weren't able to draw proof. So here we seem to have a proof, right? The Braisa seems to say that the Mitzora is like the menuda in that he can't have marital relations. So we're going to give the same answer we've been giving. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Huna, Brei de Rav Pinchas, Mishmei de Rav Yosef, Mi katani she'aser she'ehe kemenuda o ka'avel, b'miwe acharanaisa. It doesn't say specifically that this menuda is asar in Tashma Shemita. It just says that the Mitzora is like a menuda kavel, and maybe that means with respect to other halachos, not necessarily with respect to this halacha of Tashma Shemita. And then it goes on to say v'asar nami Tashma Shemita, and it happens to be that this Mitzora is asar b'Tashma Shemita separately from its analogy to menuda. So you can't draw any conclusion from the fact that the Mitzora is compared to the menuda in this braisa. It's two separate things. The Mitzora is Aser B'Tashma Shemita, and he's also like the Menuda, but maybe just that's just with respect to other halachos. Okay. Until now, everything's been halacha l'maisa in terms of Avelos. Now we get to something that's less l'maisa nowadays, unfortunately. Meir Yibana Mikdash, it says, Avel eno mishalech karbanosav. If an Avel has a karban he wants to bring, So we know he can't bring the karban himself because he's stuck in his house sitting shiva. But is he allowed to send his karbanos with a shaliach to be offered on his behalf? So what's the answer? D'tanya. We have a brace that says, Rav Shimon Omer, Shlamim Bizman Shehub Shalem. So Shlamim is your prototypical carbon, is a carbon Shlamim, right? And Shlamim can only be brought Bizman Shehub Shalem when he, the offerer, is whole, is complete, right? Because it says it's called a Shlamim, so the Shlamim can only be brought when he's complete. V'lo Bizman Shehub Onein, and not when he is an Onein. And I think the Gemara here understands Onein to be not just Onein in the strict sense, but someone who sometimes the Gemara uses the word Onein, I think, to be more expansive and to refer to an Avil generally. So there we see from this brisa that an Avil cannot send his karbanos. Menuda ma'ushi yishlach karbanos. What about a menuda? Can he send his karbanos to be brought on his behalf? Amar Rav Yosef Tashma, let's learn a brisa. It says, Kol osan shanim shal Yisrael ba'midbar menudin hayu. Right? We just said above that the Klal Yisrael was considered to be menudin all those years they were in the Midbar. And yet we know, v'sholchu karbanosan, they had a Mishkan that was active. They always brought karbanos all those years. So doesn't that prove to us that a menuda can have karbanos offered on his behalf? Amoy Abaye, v'ndilma menuda l'shamayim shayni d'kayil. So Abaye says, just as we said above, maybe no, maybe menuda l'shamayim is less stringent than a menuda that we know. And therefore, you can't prove from the fact that they brought karbanos in the midbar. You can't prove the fact. You can't necessarily prove that a menuda nowadays is allowed to bring karbanos. The Gemara interjects and says, "Kayel v'amres chamir." Right? Same. I don't know why the Gemara wasn't satisfied with this treatment a few lines above, but it goes through the same analysis and it says, "What do you mean, Kayel? We've always said until now, until one sugya ago, we said that the menuda l'shamayim was always more chamur." My answer is svuke masaf galei. The Gemara is just not sure. We're not sure whether a menuda l'shamayim is more chamor or less chamor than a regular menuda, and therefore you have to be docha and irai. You can't prove one to another. Finally, mitzora ma'ush yishlach karbanosav. Is a mitzora allowed to send his karbanos to be offered? So the Gemara answers, Tashman, it brings a brisa, detanya. V'acharei tara so, acharei prisha so min ames shivas yamim yisperu lo, eu shiva yimei sviro. So it's talking about the timetable for a mitzora and how he gets rehabilitated, how he comes back into the machana. And then it says, uvayom bo el hakodesh al chatzar apinimis l'shareis bakodesh yakriv chataso. Zuasiris ha'ifa sholo. So, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So it says that he actually brings this certain type of offering, The more explicit is Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon Omer, Bevo Yakriv, Bizman Sheroy Labia, Roy Lakrava. Bizman Sheinor Labia, Eno Roy Lakrava. So it's only specifically after he's allowed to come back, meaning once he finishes his rehabilitation. I think this is talking about Tumas Mace. And Rashi, right, this is talking about Tumas Mace. The first one. Rabbi Yehuda's position, Zuah Sira Saifa, is talking about a Tumas Mace, that Tumas Mace is allowed to bring. And so Rashi says that the person who's Tumay Mace was not allowed to bring a karbon, was not allowed to bring his Asira Saifa until he became Tahor from his Tumas Mace. And so Rashi says, Vu Adin Mitzaraso, the same logic should apply to a Mitzora. The Mitzora also should not be able to bring his karbanos or not send karbanos on his behalf until he finishes his rehabilitation from his saras.
How come the Gemara, when it talks about the Midbar, that they were all considered excommunicated, why don't we say that the entire community is, just everybody is, and then just like if the entire community is coming, they can still bring the...
Tumah Hajra Bitsibor, it's the same so thing should apply. That's interesting. And the Gemara chose not to.
They would have karbanos if
right.
Nobody can bring it.
Right. The Gemara chose not to bring a proof from that from the midbar because of we weren't sure whether it was more chum or more kal. You're saying there's a different answer it could have given, which is that tumah hutra b'tzibur or something like that, where all these categories are hutra b'tzibur. That the tzibur is different than a yachid. Yeah. I mean that might be just a different way of saying menudo l'shamayim. We before we described menudo l'shamayim, meaning this category of the Bnei Yisrael who are in the Midbar, we're calling them Menudo HaShemayim. We said that's kind of when they're acting as a Tzibor. So that is really the distinction. It's a distinction between a Tzibor that's kind of Menudo HaShemayim as a Tzibor versus a Yachid is a Menuda. That might be the difference that we've been discussing anyway. Okay.
Right. Square.